Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Trent Williams has put the 49ers in a very precarious position. We're going to talk about that and much more next. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the coach's meeting. That's the coach. I'm Grant Cohn. Training camp is underway, and it's an interesting training camp. In the past, the story was on the field. It was the quarterback. It was the most important position. It was right in front of everyone's face. Now the story is Trent Williams isn't showing up. He's holding out. And you know all that money that Brandon Ayuk wanted? Well, turns out Trent wants it. And he's better than Brandon Ayuk. So this is serious. What do you think of what Trent Williams is doing? Do you think the 49ers should capitulate? And I mean, what do they do if they, what will Trent do if the 49ers don't give in? That's a lot of questions. So you could just go.
Number one, this is not a if but when situation as far as I'm concerned. Trent Williams has operated shrewdly, quite frankly. And the Niners deserve to be in the position that they're in. While we've been talking about Brandon Ayuk for the entire offseason, Trent Williams has waited and seen exactly where he can strike. And to be honest with you, if there was ever a time for you to kind of be questionable about your career, about where you stand, it would have been Trent Williams. He was coming. He has no more guaranteed money. The Niners are coming off another Super Bowl where he did not play his best. And on top of it, we're walking into, hands down, one of the most talented and loaded offensive line drafts in the last 20 years. I mean, it was right there for the Niners to get a replacement or try to at least press Trent to be able to say, hey, listen, we value you, but we think that you should be able to play out the rest of your contract. And oh, by the way, our first round pick left tackle that we picked, or our second round pick guy that we picked up, is going to be the replacement if you ask. And I feel like Trent sat back in the weeds. You know, you ever seen that commercial, right? The Sunny D commercial where all of the kids are like, oh, it's the Dave Chappelle joke. Like, oh, we got this. We got apple juice, this purple stuff, and then we got Sunny D. It's like, Sunny D, yeah. And Trent's in the back like, I want that purple stuff. Like, that's exactly what happened, bro. While
very quiet, didn't telegraph his interest, but he knew what he wanted. He knew what he was going to do.
And right now, the Niners are stuck. They have to pay this man, all right? Training camp has started. He is not there. And for effect, Trent's letting you look at Jalen Moore for the next couple of practices until you get him in there, just to remind you of how much there is a hole on this offensive line. Offensive line was our biggest question. It was our biggest question mark as far as upgrades were concerned this offseason, and Trent read the tea leaves perfectly. He put himself in a position right now where the Niners, the only thing that they can attest to as far as offensive line is Dominic Pooney. Okay.
A guard. Right? You know, they haven't drafted an offensive tackle since 2021, since they drafted Jalen Moore. That's the last offensive tackle they've taken.
I mean, right now, Trent Williams is looking at the offensive line saying, like, you need me. You absolutely need me. And I don't have guaranteed money. So what I'm going to do, go ahead. You're right.
So what's so funny is, like, the Niners were so pressed about being leveraged by Ayuk. Oh, we got to draft Ricky Pearsall because God forbid Ayuk isn't here. As if they don't have like four or five other all-pro weapons. But on the offensive line, it's Trent and nobody else. And they didn't think that through. Like, hey, you know, if Trent decides that he wants more money, we're screwed. Because, like, you could argue, man, don't pay him. He's 36 years old. He signed this contract extension. He's going to make plenty of money. Like, live. They could, like, that. I would like, that's how I feel. But they can't say that because if he's like, cool, I'll retire then they're screwed.
All of that would have been viable in May, okay? In February, in March, okay? But as soon as April hit, okay, Trent was moving. He was on the, it's like, okay, well, I just got to wait in the weeds. I can't do it now because there's still viability for trades. Things are still soft, but I'm going to wait until we get to training camp. And then I'm going to let you know I need my bread. And to be honest with you, the foreshadowing of all of this is Christian McCaffrey. He did it first. He was the first player on the team that said, you know what? I don't have guaranteed money and I'm not coming to OTAs.
But they handled that quickly because he didn't, I think, get a major raise in the short term. He got more guaranteed money, but that was something that they could handle. It seems like Trent Williams has made his demands clear and the Niners haven't been able to work this out because it's a lot more complicated and expensive. His base salary this year is about $20 million. That's not going to get it done. No. The highest paid offensive lineman in the league is getting $28 million a year on average. So the Niners have $31 million in cap space. I would imagine he wants to be the highest paid offensive lineman in the year. That would require a hefty raise. And next year has to be fully guaranteed. Just as a starting point, he could go to the Niners and say, I want a five-year extension.
And you know what? For effect, the Niners are going to front load this deal. They're going to pay him his guaranteed money because it's all about virtue signaling to where he ranks in the league. He always wants to keep that cachet. So he's going to be top three. He's top three paid right now. So at the very least, he's going to be paid top three. They're going to pay him guaranteed money up front, okay, to give him his money. It's going to be a probably two-year deal, in my opinion. And we're going to void the rest of that contract out for like 4 years. It's going to happen again. We're going to get another deal where we pay these guys. Dude, the patients are running the asylum. And they can nod and smile as much as they want to. But these players know we lost. At this stage of the game, it's about keeping up appearances. We want to win as much games as we can because it matters to our direct cachet as players individually. But at the end of the day, we've lost faith. There's no more hometown discounts. There's no more let's keep the core together. I need my money for protection.
True, because let's just talk about how badly the front office and the team has misread the offseason. Like, I think they thought the players would be like, one more chance. We got this with the last dance. Like, nah, that was last year. Mm-hmm. That was last year. And next year, it's going to all be about Brock. We know that. And he could get, who knows, 50, 60, 70, who knows how much money it's going to be? We don't know. And we don't know which guys are going to get cut either. And if you don't have guaranteed money left on your deal and you're expensive and you're old, boy, it could be you. So we're seeing players who feel a little insecure and know that they're really important fight for their money now. So that's not great for, I mean, to me, again, that's the story of training camp so far. This stuff, the business of football is overriding football. For the 49ers right now.
That's the main point. It should be done right now. So it's also kind of showing like the lack of process of not sewing a couple of things up. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, as far as I'm concerned, the season does not start until we get Trent Williams in the building. I mean, that's not here to, that's not to belittle Brandon Ayuk or disparage his, the importance of getting his deal signed. But for what it's worth, who would you rather have under contract right now? Brandon Ayuk or Trent Williams?
I mean, Trent Williams, I think it's so funny. It's not even a question. I think it's so funny. All offseason, Ayuk's been talking about how he wants 28. He wants to be. And it's like, Trent doesn't go on TikTok or ESPN, but I can imagine him sitting at his home in Texas, wherever he lives, thinking, huh, so Ayuk wants more money than me. I mean, I like Brandon. He's he's a good guy, but in no world is he ever making more money than me when we're on the same team. So whatever he wants, guess what, little buddy? That's what I want. And you know what? I'm taking it. It's mine.
Yeah.
That's cutthroat. Hey, Brandon, you know that extension you thought you were going to get? Now it's going to Trent. No one saw it coming. Sorry.
Yeah. And whole time, we're looking at what BA's overtures for his contract look like juxtaposed to what where Debo stands with the team. And the overarching umbrella over all of it is Trent is looking at all of this like, wait a minute, none of this moves without me. Right. None of this.
We've seen Pro Football Focus do all the lists this year. Who's the best player on the team? Trent. Who's Trent. Third best player in the league? Trent. Honestly, if he retires or holds out or does whatever he does and doesn't play this year, what's their ceiling?
8 games?
Yeah, I mean, he knows that. They know that. So what are you going to do? How could you put yourself in this situation? And what's crazy is, like, the Niners are aware of these situations. They try to avoid them. We saw it with Brandon. Brandon was not savvy like Trent was. Brandon telegraphed his moves. He said, this is what I want. He said it early. So the Niners are like, oh, you're going to hold out? You're going to do the XYZ? Well, we're drafting a wide receiver. What are you going to do about it? In your face. Trent just shut the hell up and was like, oh, I'm happy. Oh, the draft is gone. Oh, you went a fourth straight draft without taking an offensive tackle. Cool. By the way, we need to talk. I think that was just incredible.
It was awesome. I think it was great.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go, Trent. You get it. There was nothing else you could say. He did an amazing job in making sure that, number one, and this is another thing, take notes, BA.
Oh.
Take notes. Not one word.
And I think the key move was not saying a damn thing before the draft. Not saying a damn thing before the draft. Like, oh, I'm happy. Oh, you didn't take an offensive tackle? Ha ha. Cool. Because they might have. Who knows? If Trent had said, hey, look, I need a lot of money, and he said that in April, the Niners were like, okay, well, then we're trading up for Amarius Mims.
Yeah.
Got to do it. Yeah. And then we'll take a wide receiver in round 2 or something like that. But they just didn't see this coming, we didn't see it coming either. We didn't spend all offseason talking about Trent Williams, but it's not our job. I mean,
is there a world that exists where Trent Williams' true leverage is not the fact of when he asked for his holdout, but the true leverage of Trent Williams is them knowing that he will retire if he doesn't get paid?
Yeah, he's not playing around. He's 36 years old. He's been an All-Pro 3 years in a row. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer if he retires today. So what's left to win the Super Bowl? How much? I mean, he just went last year. It's not all really in his control. And is that his number one concern? Don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, everybody at the end of your career would love a huge little severance package on the way out the door just because of all your vested time with the company. It's like, hey, you need me. Right. And this thing does not move without me. And for what it's worth, I'm leveraged. I was leveraged. And you missed the opportunity to utilize that with how you drafted. You cared about getting BA signed. And what did you do? You went out and got a wide receiver in the first round in the most talent-rich offensive line class in the last 20 years. That's what you think I'm that sweet?
Yep.
That's what you think?
Yeah, because right now the Niners are just banking on him being a nice guy.
Yeah, that's it.
Because he's got him. I'm not going to use, like, you know, the phrases that are all kind of off color, but, you know, he's got him by, you know, where he's got him. Right, and they're basically just being like, all right, Trent, hey, man, we love you. Hey, whoa. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, at this stage of the game, they got to pay him. This situation, it's honestly, this supersedes Brandon Ayuk's cut negotiations. If we're talking about rolling out week one against the Jets.
Well, I mean, it's so obvious. It's like one guy's not there and one guy is. So the guy who's not there is the guy who's in a powerful position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Trent is like, Hove, I show you how to do this, son.
Like, you know how you don't do it? You don't request a trade and then show up to practice and hang out with the GM. Now it's time to talk about Brandon Ayuk. So we've seen how a real triple OG handles business in the NFL. Trent Williams. Now let's go back to Brandon Ayuk. Boy, it's looking like he may not. I mean, to me, real quick, all of the stuff that he did this offseason comes across as childish and immature. Not to be mean, but just compared to Trent, who's gonna get it done and said nothing. Like Ayuk just seemed like he flailed around, wanted attention, wanted sympathy, wanted to be liked. And now he's like almost begging John Lynch for the extension. And John's like, I gotta pay Trent.
You know what's awesome about this is that anything, it's like the posturing, the talking, the tweeting, the videos, hanging out with the number two overall pick all summer, the podcasts, your family members talking, you confirming what your family members are saying, you dropping social media tweets, you getting on social media, writing in the comments, responding to other coaches, having different players practice film on tape, meeting
high with school.
The trainers, breaking negotiation lines.
High school.
Through all of that, through that entire roller coaster. Oh, the pièce de résistance. Requesting a trade. Okay? So you do all of that. And the one time where finally, through the entire offseason, there's a chance for you to make a tangible statement that actually backs up and verifies all of the rhetoric, which is, I will not be here for training camp. You show up bright and early. Why are you here, Brandon? Why are you here? You've wasted all of our time. Hurry up and sign. Hurry up.
Yeah, just take what they offered you, man, before Trent Williams takes it.
Hurry up and sign.
Yeah.
Like, it's beyond me. It's like, what are you here for? What are you going to do? Leave by week one? That's what you're going to do?
Yeah. If he's here now, it doesn't seem like he's going to hold out any games. Like, why is he here now? Because he doesn't want to get fined. Because he hasn't made that much money. I mean, $12 million is a lot of money before taxes, but he doesn't want to give that away. So he's not going to skip games.
It's like the toddler who's like, I'm running away. All right.
All right, man.
Leave it. All right. There you go.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Here goes your book bag.
Yeah.
What are we going to do for dinner? I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Me and your mom are about to eat right now. Well, maybe I just want to eat for a little bit. All right. Come on. You want to eat? Yeah. Okay. You want water? Yeah. Okay. Like, Brandon, you are wasting our time. All of this, like, my man, you're back. Take what they give you. Sign, okay? The number one thing that you can control in any type of relationship is your presence. Why are you there if you're saying you want to be traded?
Also, I think it's fair to look back and like look at how Trent Williams has moved. Even look at how Debo did it 2 years ago. Of all the people who've wanted extensions from the 49ers, Brandon went about it by far the worst and the most immaturely. What did you accomplish by putting out all those posts on social media and going on that podcast? Like, you could argue you hurt your position because you had a teammate laying in the weeds who wants the same deal or more, who's better than you.
That is and such a cold point, Grant.
You know what I'm saying? Because like he let the Niners focus on him and make life easier for Trent. Like, you're not even thinking about me. You're not going to draft an offensive tackle. Screwed yourself.
Yeah,
try to open your mouth. Real G's move in silence like lasagna. And Brandon's just not a real G yet.
Only an 80s baby. Like, dog. He played himself, man. It's like all of this now. Show you didn't even show up to camp late. You didn't like at least give us some suspense. You came bright and early, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Stop, bro. Like, you're gonna sign. Like, enough of this nonsense.
Yeah, like, he doesn't seem like a grown, like a. I'm not gonna say he's not a grown man, but he doesn't seem like a serious veteran who's trying to go toe to toe with the organization. He seems like a young player who's upset.
Yeah, yeah. He seems like a young. He seems like he was. There's a lot of repressed energy of how he's felt all along.
Yep.
And he used this opportunity to really express how he's felt. And he tried to replicate it in the way of real money with real years, but he doesn't understand that his singular point of how he interprets his emotions and his version of how he's been maturated through the coaching staff, I mean, through the organization, has nothing to do with the entire picture. And what you want has real implications on the rest of the team. Okay. And you're not prepared to take it as far as it needs to go for the organization to truly have a shift. Like this right here, like these actions right here show why he's not a true number one.
Yeah, man. He's like, and it's like, why did he show up to training camp? Because he wants to be seen. He wants us to talk about him. If he doesn't show up to training camp, who are we talking about? Trent.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, Brandon's there. He was talking to John Lynch. Like, he doesn't want this to end. He even said it, which was crazy. I love the attention. I've never been on ESPN before. When he got spotted by TMZ, he was like, Mama, I made it. Like, dude.
Bro, he's filibustering the experience. It's just like, he's the guy where it's like, well, does anybody have something to say? I, for one, would like to say, with all due respect.
Yeah.
And in lieu of
other
topics and circling back,
so far as
you just want to talk, did you just want everybody to look at you right now to just hear what you have to say because you see a good time for you to have the entire room on you right now? But what do you actually have to say? We listened to you all summer, and the time when it was pertinent for you to make your biggest statement. For us to say, hey man, like honestly, a week before camp, I was saying, and I think you were too, there's no way BA stand. There's no way BA.
He's gonna stand on business. This guy is gonna stand on business.
There's no way he showed up, dude. And then coming in, it was like he asked for a trade. Oh, dude, there's no way he's gonna show up. Like, definitely not before camp is over. Like, you can't. I mean, what he's been talking all summer, and you know, we were kind of understanding, like, man, that's rough, but, you know, he still hasn't requested a trade. You know, we know how these things go, right? And then for you to request a trade, when you requested a trade, right before camp start, and we took you as an honest broker, Brandon. Like, man, he's asking for a trade right before camp. That means that they must really want to move him so he can go, stop. You showed up on time.
Yeah.
All right? You're the boy that cried wolf. Not again. Not again. That nobody will forget how you gaslit the entire fan base all summer just to show up and sign. So hurry up and sign.
It's crazy. It's like people didn't really know who Brandon was. He was sort of a dark horse. He was he was the guy. He was like the guy in the boy band who didn't talk very much. And this offseason, he finally introduced himself to the football world, and it didn't go so well. Like he's known right now. He's known right now as Cryuke. He's the boy who cried wolf. He's Cryuke. Like, that's what he did. Yeah. He cried all offseason. He didn't really get what he wanted. And he let his teammates take money from him, man. Like, by being so unprofessional, it just made it real easy for Juwan Jennings to slide in. Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams. Like, hey.
He played himself.
Yeah.
He played cover for all of these guys who moved shrewdly. Like, even Ricky Pearsall held out for a better rookie deal. Even he got what he ate off your plate. CMC got paid, okay? Trent is about to get paid. Like, at this stage of the game, it's like.
I have one more point to make, too. Brandon, you have an agent. You pay him a lot of money.
Yeah.
A really savvy player who used to be on this team. I don't know if you ever played with him. Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman was his own agent. because he didn't want to pay that fee. So either pay the fee and let him do the job for you, or be your own agent. But I wouldn't recommend that because you didn't do such a good job. So either let your agent do his job or get a different agent, man. It's kind of weird that you have the same agent as John Lynch. Is that helping you?
Yeah.
Rosenhaus.
It's exactly the point that we made earlier. It's like you got an agent who is the mentee of John Lynch. That's what's so wild about this whole thing. It's like, BA, you are like in lockstep with the organization in so many different ways. So for you to break ranks and try to act like a rogue as if you are standing on business and you're ready to go to any other team. It's like, yo, my man, the Niners were never going to move you with the leverage that they had. All of these cards that you pulled throughout the offseason, what do you think the response is going to be? Not just by the fans. Forget us. We don't matter in this situation. But what do you think the true response is going to be when it's time for you to get paid again? You're going to take what they pay you. No one is going to take another summer of this. No one. Like, he really hurt his social currency on this.
Yeah, people will never forget this. People won't take him as seriously after this. Like, really good receiver, but man, he cost himself money.
This superseded the Debo negotiations, honestly. And really, if he signs ultimately for like maybe a million more than what the Niners offered him, dude, you're going to have so much egg on your face, bro. Like, and you're already going to sign because you're in the building.
Yeah.
What are you there for?
Take some super chats. Nicholas says SF plays Trent on reserve. What does that mean? It means he didn't show up to camp.
Yeah.
They have to. So they it allowed them to bring in another player to practice. Corey Wiggs says, not as good as Trent, but called David Bakhtiari. $2 million a year deal. Decent insurance and makes Trent think. They got to bring in someone. It can't be Jalen Moore.
It can't be.
You got to bring in someone. Lobs All Day says, why TF was Burford out there starting today and yesterday?
Has Dominic Pooney gotten any burn with first
no,
team?
Not yet.
Well, so. That's promising. They always do this. If you think about it, the guys that they really want to get going, they kind of like pace them to make sure that they're ready for the next level. So don't. It's only day two, Lobs.
It's only day two. Thanks for becoming a new member. Damon Dickerson says, love the show. Is BA trying to force his way into stardom? Yeah, I mean, he's filming a documentary as if anyone would want to watch that.
The no ending offense, is so anticlimactic. It's like, so you signed for $1 million more?
Cool. I guess.
All right.
I've been gone for a bit. Is coach still texting? Uh-oh. I'm not texting. Absolutely not. Okay, no. Another topic, and then we're going to get into some training camp stuff.
Okay.
Bill Barnwell, ESPN, estimates that Purdy's going to sign a 5-year deal worth $65 million per year. Mm-hmm. Once the cap goes up another 12% next year, that's just really the market. So it's not really, you know, should they offer him less? What do you think of $65 million for Brock? Is that a viable? I mean, because we talk mostly about winning the Super Bowl. The Niners have really, you know, they've won the division. They've done so much. They've won the conference. But $65 million a year for that quarterback, he's a hell of a quarterback. But can they win the Super Bowl that way?
You know the answer to that, man.
I mean, if he's a Hall of Famer, then yeah, they can. But I'm not sure that's what he is.
Well, we're going to find out sooner rather than later. I mean, he's coming into year three. If Brock is consistent with what he's been doing year in and year out, I mean, in today's NFL, yeah. You got to pay him the money. It's what the contract calls for. It's what the market calls for. It's really nothing you can really question. I mean, unless Brock feels like giving us a hometown discount.
Well, let's look at it this way. I mean, I agree with that. There are a lot of examples of teams that give that big contract to a quarterback who isn't quite a Hall of Famer, like the Vikings and Kirk Cousins or the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. And I think it's pretty clear. It seems pretty hard to win a Super Bowl with a guy making that much money, unless it's Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Matthew Stafford. Like, if it's Kirk Cousins, I don't think you're going to win.
It's not even close.
It's Tua. So I don't know where Bryce is. Brock Kirk or is Brock Josh Allen? I don't know.
Well, let's put it like this. We'll know how Brock, where Brock's self-awareness gauges depending on how big this deal is.
Yeah.
Okay. So nothing about Brock's cachet or like his character says $65 million a year. That's the only thing that I can say is that if you want to go with what he's doing as a quarterback in the market and what he could do as far as like, I feel like $65 million a year is like what we're talking about is the ceiling. You know what I mean? Like that's if he goes, he hits a grand slam. I don't think that that's necessarily what Brock would do. I see Brock as a team player. I think Brock actually does have self-awareness because that's how good, that's where his strengths come from, is that he knows where he is deficient, right? That's how he plays. Brock protects himself. He plays with great anticipation. Some of the things that he knows he controls, his processing. And I just don't see Brock being as conscientious as he is to understand what it's like to play with an athletically deficient team for 4 years in Iowa State and then to have this stark meteoric rise to play with the Niners. For him to take that type of money and not understand what it would do to the players around him, I think that that would be ridiculously like tone deaf. I don't think that he would do that. I think he would understand. Now
we'll see. I don't know. I think it's interesting that some people make that assumption, like Brock's a nice guy.
No. Brock, he's like, a nice guy. He's a nice guy, but the fact that he's a smart guy. I think that he's pragmatic. And that's not about being nice. That's about being practical, where it's like, okay, so you want the $65 million. So, and you want to die on national television too. Like, it's like, dude, there's, you know, either
will people
or,
look at Brock differently if he pushes for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
They will. Because now he's like, you know, the little saint, you know, he plays for free. He just loves the game.
Like,
yeah.
It plays. Like boy next door stuff, that's out the window if he gets paid $65 million.
Yeah.
I think Brock knows that.
Yeah.
I think he does. Like, you don't pick up a tractor and a corn sponsorship without knowing who you are. Okay. And being from Arizona and still being savvy enough to say, these people have no idea that I'm really not from here. But I only went to school here for a couple of years.
Here's how they need to structure this contract. Whatever it is, if it's $65 million, so be it. But they should not guarantee more than the first 2 years of this extension. They should be able to get out after a couple of years. Because like with Mahomes' deal, they can't. It's like rolling guarantees. So every year, like two more years are guaranteed. Don't do that with Brock. Because you like him and he's worth it, but you still don't really, really, really know for sure that you can win that way. So no more than 2 years guaranteed. And if he doesn't like it, then you guys got a problem. So what I would say is, everyone's going to leave the show now, but earmuffs, if they were to trade Brock next year, what's he worth? Just to know, I want to know. Second round pick. Not a top 10 pick.
No.
For real?
You're going to get squeezed. They're the Niners. People don't like doing business with us. It's a quarterback. He'll get an early second round, maybe late first round.
Interesting. Well, then maybe the Niners really will offer him a low ball salary.
Because if you look at it like this, if we're trading Brock, we got to do it for a player too. Why would we just trade picks? That's like asking for three magic beans. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing with picks? We don't know what those are going to turn into.
It's true. I just feel like there's a team and be like that needs a quarterback in the drafting in the top 10. That's like, okay, we could take this guy. We don't really know. Or we could get Brock Purdy. It's got to be a first, man. I mean, if Brandon Ayuk could get you 34 from New England, Brock could have to get you a first round pick unless he takes a step back next year.
Okay. I'll give you that. But you're thinking about the best version of Brock. I mean,
yes. If he takes a step back, then that could be a different story.
Right. I mean, but. You know, this is one thing that I want to be fair to Brock, too. We always talk about, like, if Brock stays consistent with what he does, and we're always kind of thinking about it from, like, glass half empty. Like, it's not the fact that this is his consistency, but it's like, this is the best he's doing, and we're kind of waiting for him to kind of regress to the mean. What if this is the worst he's doing? What if he actually like turns it up and like improves? That's why I asked you, like, what have you seen differently from him? Like, is he improved or does he look the same?
In practice, no. I feel like he's not a great practice player because to me, he's at his best when he's extending the play. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league at extending plays. So when it's just like, hey, stay in the pocket and win that way, he's good. Mm-hmm. He's good, but the offensive line isn't good. The defense is excellent. He's going to have some throws that are picked or almost picked, you know, every day.
Okay.
And that's okay because we've seen him in real games. He's much better in real games. But the thing with Brock is like, again, I want to come back to your, not assumption, but prediction that'll take a little less. If I were his agent, I would say, Brock, man, you've already taken a lot less. You've played for free for 3 years. We're just going to ask for market value for you. And market value happens to be $65 million a year once Tua gets that or Jordan Love gets that. And I know they won't get it this year, but next year when the cap goes up, there's going to be freaking offers like that. And my client needs that.
I mean, look, bro. From the negotiation table, yes, he's worth that. They can definitely push for that. But I don't think that the fans are going to be able to stomach Brock getting paid $65 million and us rolling out with like players who we barely know.
Is Brock going to hold in next year? Is he going to be talking to Don Lynch on the sideline?
That's the thing, man. Like part of this kid's rise is his connection with the fan base. He can't do that. It's like it's such a thin line because he's moving like on like this perfect scale. And as far like character is concerned, and I'm gonna tell you, man, when this money stuff comes in, you are gonna see a completely different shade of scrutiny on him if that kid makes $65 million a year.
Well, Brock, the only advice I have for you, and I don't think I have to tell him, don't say a word publicly. Don't say a word. Just let your agent do his thing. It'll be fine. If you watch what Brandon did, watch his documentary and then don't do any of that stuff.
Don't do any of that stuff.
None of it.
Like the ending, like could you imagine sitting back and just like being like not even a fan of football and watching the documentary as a real documentary and you just kind of like sitting there with your girlfriend and you're like, so he signed. So he signed. What are we doing here? What did you have me watch this whole hour long documentary for? So he signed. All right. Hour wasted. Let's go forward. Like, I don't know, bro. Like, I don't get it.
Brandon, we're upset with you. We spent so many hours talking about you this offseason because you wanted us to, and you fumbled the whole situation.
Yeah. Really, man. Like, you had us really taking you at face value and you doing it on purpose, like putting it on social media, like heavy-handed, and for you to show up at camp. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Look at this dude. Like, come on, bro. Do better. Be better. Act better. Hurry up and sign, Brandon. I feel like that should be a shirt or like a hashtag on Twitter. Like, hurry up and sign, BA. Like, we're over it. Hurry up and sign. We know. Hurry up and sign. Like, we know.
Okay. Let's do some sleeper picks.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray and serum treatment options so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. So if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because it's that time and they're our sponsor. And I just want to show before we even make the picks, I'm hot. I'm on a heater. Coach, this was my last one. I got 3 out of 4 right. I don't know who Beto. I had to pick someone from the A's, but I got Soler with the strikeouts, Ramos with the hits, and Hicks with the earned runs. I'm hot. And that's baseball. Then the earlier last week, I got 3 out of 4. I'm hot.
Okay.
So he's hot. I'm hot. I mean, I just got the feel. So if you want the right picks, let's look at some people.
Let's go.
Do I know them? Do I not? It doesn't really matter. Luis Severino.
Luis
Severino. Oh yeah. Excellent pitcher for the Yankees, as we all know. Last time he gave up, he had 7 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
5.5, more or less. What are we thinking?
All right. Luis Severino.
I don't know, man. 5.5 is a lot.
5.5 is a lot.
5.5 is a lot.
We're going to go with it. We're going to go with it. We're going to do it. Do it. We're going to do it. Let's go.
Not feeling great about Luis Severino right there. Okay. Francisco Lindor. Will he get a hit today? Like, obviously, he's going to get a hit.
Lindor.
Like, this is easy.
I like his last name.
He's Lindor. Excellent.
He's the best.
He's the best. Coach is a big baseball guy, as you can tell.
Huge.
Rosenberg. He's probably Jewish. Kenny Rosenberg.
Kenny Rosenberg, yeah?
Kenny Rosenberg. 2.5 earned runs. Will he get, more or less? He gave up 1 in his last outing and 6 the outing before then. 2.5.
I like
the
Kenny.
The baby Jew.
I like Kenny.
I like Kenny too.
Yeah, I like. He's a good egg. A good egg. Kenny Rosenberg here. He's
for sure not Jewish.
One of the boys out from Brooklyn. He's a Rosenberg.
A Jewish pitcher for the Padres doing no-no today, though. And he's Jewish.
What's his name?
Dylan Cease or something? I just heard of him today.
He's a Cease.
Yeah, there you go.
Dylan
Cease. Kenny Rosenberg. I'm definitely picking less because I think there's a 3% chance you had a bar mitzvah. So that factors in.
Yeah.
It does. Okay, last one. Anthony Rendon, 34-year-old player for the Angels. Boy, he's good. Will he get a hit today, though?
I don't know.
Or man. RBI. How about no for Anthony Rendon? How about no?
Anthony.
I don't like it, Rendon. Okay, those are my picks.
No.
Feeling good. My Lindor? What? All right, they hated on me with the Severino pick, but you know what? I wasn't feeling good about it anyway. So I'm going, can't submit picks yet. Remove unavailable picks. All right.
Why?
Boom, removed. Boom, done. Those are my picks. I'm a winner. Those are the winning selections. And if you want to make the picks, use promo code CONE or the QR code on the screen and get a deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit with the Sleeper app. And if you want to support the show, this is a great way to do it.
It's an amazing way to do it.
It's just an amazing way. All right. Let's talk camp because we're 2 days in, and even though it's all about business, there are some early standouts at camp. First, honestly, we talk about like the guy who the most improved player. Two days in, early candidate, Jordan Mason. We always say he's good, but like we know he's limited. He runs the ball well, but he doesn't have enough of his game to play. Clearly, he doesn't do enough on passing downs in terms of blocking or receiving. Well, every day, this goes back to OTAs and minicamp, they call passes for him. That Brock Purdy will throw a screen to him or a check down or a Texas route. He has a whole route tree. And he's shorthanded, and he's really hard to tackle. Christian McCaffrey was asked about him today, and he's improved a ton. And he's really become a more complete running back. So that's the one early standout, Jordan Mason.
One thing that I like about Jordan Mason is that, unfortunately, I have him as a trade candidate. They picked up the running back out of the Packers. They signed him for the same amount of money that they signed Jordan Mason for. He's the same archetype as far as a tough runner, same size. But I don't know. We'll see. One thing that we have talked about is that with Christian McCaffrey getting his money at this stage of his career, that they're going to have to start insulating him at some point, or at least taking him out of the backfield and finding more like easier carries or easier reps for him to be able to preserve his body. We lucked out by not having Christian McCaffrey go down for an extended period of time last year. And the only way for us to be able to do that is to be able to put Jordan. This is one thing about Jordan Mason that I feel for our offensive line. It's like, okay, cool. They don't value the position, whatever. We're not necessarily the biggest physical offensive line. We know that. But for what it's worth, can you at least get me going downhill from the quickest point A to point B position for our offensive line? And when you do it, do you mind giving it to our hardest runner? Okay, so we can create our own chaos with the run game. Like having a tough runner with an offensive line who may not be as physical kind of marries together. It actually makes the running game better. And it's something that you do see with Jordan Mason, where he is such a tough runner that you can actually use him and his reps to actually take some pressure off of the offensive line when Christian gets back in, because you're going to have a much more malleable defensive front because you're running with a much tougher runner. I mean, it's something that I know Kyle knows, so I'm not going to sit here and say that he doesn't. But being able to switch up tempos with different styles of runners is something that people have been using since Moses was in short pants, man. Like, come on, bro. Use the different tempos of the backs that you have to be able to keep the offense, to keep the defensive line off kilter. But if you got a defensive line where it's like, all right, we're looking for the cutback, we're fast, it's basically like you keep running with Christian, you get a defensive line that's good enough, they're just going to play around the offensive line. It's like we're faster than them, we're stronger than them, and we're bigger than them. So go ahead.
Also, I feel like why he's ultimately going to pass Elijah Mitchell on the depth chart this year is because of what he can do as a receiver. Like Mitchell's a good running back when healthy, and so is Mason. But I think the way the Niners offense has been constructed with McCaffrey is that a large part of their passing game revolves around the running back. And that's why Jordan Mason is standing out. Like you'll be there in a few days. You'll see a couple of throws every day go from Purdy to Mason. And they're not just checkdowns. There was a screen today designed for Jordan Mason. They don't call those plays for Elijah Mitchell. That's for McCaffrey, and that's for Mason. So that's one. Another one. Who's going to be the sixth wide receiver on this team? They got Juwan Jennings, Deebo, Brandon Ayuk, and then you got Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing, but then Ronnie Bell, Danny Gray. Who's it going to be?
I have Ronnie Bell, Grant, and then now I'm hearing from you that Danny Gray,
through 2 days, that's been the guy who's actually caught three passes from Brock. Ronnie Bell's caught in zilch.
Can I ask you some questions?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Please.
So it's the first 48 hours of camp. All right. Quite frankly, there has not been enough football played for us to actually know tendencies and have an idea of what we're seeing. It's just not enough yet. But what we can do is give first impressions. We can just give raw emotion of what we saw and what are some of the things that stuck out. So what's important when you come into camp? Who was in shape?
Yeah.
First day, who looked exactly the same as last year that they did coming in off of 4 months where they were supposed to be busting their ass the whole time?
Tre'Davious Ward, Debo Samuel, Spencer Burford, to his credit, looks like he's in great shape. That's not really been the issue with him. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Nick Bosa, Yetur Gross-Matos.
Good.
Javon Hargrave for sure. Looks like he's in better shape. Javon Hargrave
came in shape? Good.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't tell you who didn't. To me, what's interesting is day one, the Niners run defense is totally terrible. Awful. Mm-hmm. In terms of fitting it correctly and effort. And I write about it. Like, this is just terrible. Today was fantastic. So I think it's interesting, like, when there's a little bit of, like, motivation and the effort's there, they can stop the run. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yetur Gross-Matos is a really nice run defender. Seriously.
Do you think about Devondre Campbell so far?
I don't know. He gave up a 20-yard catch to Eric Sober yesterday. That's not promising. I'm a little concerned about him.
Okay, but on the flip, conversely, what have you seen from D. Winters and Jalen Graham?
I think D. Winters is really explosive and quick, and he gets to the sideline fast. I don't know how violent he is. I can't see that in practice. Jalen Graham looks like a nice special teams player and backup Mike, but maybe, I don't know. I think D. Winters is the one that will emerge. But Kyle likes vets, man. It could take D. Winters a while. Like,
speaking of
vets, Devontae Campbell's probably going to have to play his way out of that role.
I think he should. I think it has to happen. If he makes it on the team, bro, then that means that D. Winters and Jalen Graham are fugazi.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Also, speaking of vets, I already have my breakout rookie of the team. Who's your breakout rookie so far?
Oh, dude, so far, Malik Mustafa.
Malik Mustafa.
I thought it was going to be Renardo Green, but like, I've never seen a safety make plays like this. I mean, okay. Jair Brown doesn't make plays like this. Now, grain of salt, he's playing with the backups. So he's like keying on Josh Dobbs.
Look, let me tell you something.
Like, I don't want to put him in the Hall of Fame right now, but he's the best safety I've seen as a rookie.
Yeah, but look at it this way. It's like recruiting a kid to go to a D1 school, but he plays at like a weak-ass like Christian private school in a private school league, and he's the biggest kid there. It's like, well, how do you scout a kid that's literally bigger than the entire league itself? He's bigger than his offensive lineman. It's like, well, you scout him is because he needs to actually run for 500 yards a game. He needs to be doing what he looks like against these people. Like, so if Malik Mustafa is really showing out and he's on the second team, that's what he's supposed to be doing.
But when they took him and when I came into camp, I wasn't expecting him to do anything. I'm thinking 5'10", 210. He's going to show when it's like a preseason game. Like, he's going to light someone up. He's going to be physical. He's going to tackle. But he's not going to make plays in coverage in camp. I mean, Jair Brown doesn't even do that. Mike, who does? Mm-hmm. He does a freaking pair like every day. So he seems like the mid-round gem that they have one a year. It seems like it's him. Not Garendo.
Cowling's not a guy?
Maybe he is, but not yet. He hasn't shown it yet.
How about Green? Renardo Green.
He gave up like 3 catches today, but they were like 5 to 7 yard catches to Juwan Jennings. So you can't really knock him. Like, he's competing. I think he had a couple plays that would have been TFLs. But he hasn't like had that big play yet. I think he's close. Is what I would want to say. I think he's good, but he hasn't really made a play yet. Hasn't given up a big one either. I think he's good. It's 2 days.
Definitely. Yeah. And we haven't seen Huff back yet. Does Jair Brown look the part? Does he look like he's carried on?
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, he's not giving up big plays over the top. He gave up a catch to George Kittle in coverage today. But I think we've seen a lot from Jair Brown, and it's hard to like make plays have to come to you a little bit at safety in training camp, especially in coverage. But one player who's really standing out in a negative way so far is Josh Dobbs.
Talk to me.
He's inaccurate, man. The ball comes out funny. He doesn't seem like he has confidence in where it's going. He threw a pick yesterday on an underthrown deep ball when the guy was open. He threw a pick today on an underthrown deep ball when the guy was open. He also, like, you know, there's a lot of crossing routes in this offense where the receiver's running shallow cross or a dig, and it's like you have to throw the ball on time and out in front, and he's, like, missing high and missing behind. It's like,
it's all over the place.
I just don't think it's a good fit, man. I know he had some good games last year, but I don't think it's a good fit, and I think they need to give Tanner Mordecai a look.
One more question from
also,
me.
Real quick, Brandon Allen's taking all of the second team reps. Yeah, that's not true. That's not true. I can't say that. Sorry. Disregard that. Disregard that. Most of it.
Strike. So, strike. Bedside banner. What does the coaching staff look like? Do they look interested? Do they look like they want to be there? How does Nick Sorensen look? Is he vocal? Does he like take the receiver? Does he take like the DBs off by himself? Like, what's kind of like the thing that he likes to do? Is he like,
okay, so I was watching for like 8 minutes today. I put a little video up. I noticed, I like to keep an eye on Kyle during that first part of the practice. Like, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? And he was talking to Brandon Staley for a long time.
Okay.
And I was thinking, like,
that's good.
Yeah. But it's like he used to talk to D'Amico and Sala. He used to talk to the defensive coordinator. Now he's talking to the assistant head coach, and the defensive coordinator is like, kind of wandering around, sort of going from one, like, you know, like kind of floating around from one drill to the next. And it's like, Nick, you don't really seem like a very strategic person, which is cool. I mean, you might be good at your job, but Staley seems like he's like, you know, cozying up to the coach and they're talking football and
a real conversation. And you're with your hands. So you just want to coach the whole practice.
Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, I'm the defensive coordinator. And you're talking to the coach like, nah, man, come over here. I need your help.
Yeah.
Come over here, buddy. I need your help. Why don't you go over and talk to the linebacker? Like, do something. Don't just schmooze with the coach.
I agree with that. It's like, right? I kind of have a conversation with Brandon like, yo, for what it's worth, I kind of need you out here with the guys during practice. You're not, like, I understand that you're the assistant head coach, but you are a defensive guy. I kind of need you over here. So, I mean, I guess
to me, it looks like you're making an end around on my job with my boss. Like, I would have taken the opportunity to delegate right there. Hey, Brandon, I mean, but
you know what?
But is he? Because Brandon's the assistant head coach.
Doug, it probably looks like exactly like it is, where it's like, hey, look, you're the defensive coordinator. Okay. Like, run along. I got the job. I'm the assistant head coach. Right. You're lucky we got you the job. You know, just don't screw it up, kid. I'll see you week one. I have a game plan ready for you. Maybe one of those type deals too, where Brandon Staley maybe just kind of be like a defensive coordinator in spirit, or maybe he's the analytics guy.
What's interesting today too is like Brandon Staley, Jennifer Lee Chan wrote it. He was yelling from the sidelines to the defense. Like during practice, Sorensen is behind. He's next to Kyle, they're sort of behind the quarterback, and they're both on their walkie-talkies calling plays. Well, Staley's like the coach on the sideline. Yeah, he's sort of like filling in the gaps. He's standing in the sideline, and he's yelling the players. He's talking to the players. He's going over. It's like, dude, is that what you're going to do during games? Are you just sort of going to be like the shadow coach? Are they going to have two defense? It looks like they have two defensive coordinators. What it looks like.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
It looks like two.
It looks like, you know.
He doesn't work for Sorensen. He works next to Sorensen.
Yeah. There's no hierarchy there. Hold on. Wait a minute. And if the reason why, you know what? There is a hierarchy, right? There's no such thing as lateral movement, right?
It's Staley and then Sorensen.
There you go. There is a hierarchy. And the problem is that there's a hierarchy is because it's going to, the reason why it's unspoken is because there's a hierarchy. It's like,
I don't
you
like
know
that what? At all. If I'm you want to give that role to Brandon Staley, freaking put your whole name behind it. Make him the defensive coordinator and live with the decision. Don't like weasel him into the role.
Yeah. I mean, but you know,
fair to Nick Sorensen or the team.
But this is what we get for trying to treat them as honest brokers, because we saw this coming very early, but we reserved judgment because we wanted to give Nick Sorensen a chance. It's like, nah, you got rid of I forgot his name now. Who is he? Uncle Ben. What's the guy? What's his name? Steve Wilkes. Coach Wilkes. So I'm sorry. So the reason why I'm sorry. So Steve Wilkes, he was there. You got rid of him. The guys didn't like him. They had to move on. I get it. Okay. And one of the reasons why is like they gaslit it. He didn't deserve to be fired. But one of the reasons why you have to move on is because if you lose the voice in the locker room, it doesn't matter what comes after that. If the guys don't believe in you, you literally cannot be there for whatever reason, fair or unfair. It's just football. So you went and got Nick Sorensen. But the deal is that you brought in Nick Sorensen and, you know, there's a whole blind spot on Nick Sorensen getting hired. It's like we forget about the 8 weeks where we tried to get everybody who wasn't nailed down to an NFL job or a head coaching position, and they all said no, right? So it's kind of like they pieced it together.
Think about it from a player's perspective, okay? So it's awkward that you brought in Brandon Staley and you're wondering, like, what's the deal? But, you know, I'm not thinking about it because I'm talking to Sorensen. He's the one leading the meetings. But then you're out of practice. I notice it. You're going through your drills, and you look over, and it's like, oh, there's the head coach talking to Brandon really intently for a long time. And then there's a defensive coordinator kind of just floating around. Like, who is in charge here? When I get benched, who's benching me? Is it Brandon or is it Nick? Who do I go to here? Who has the final say? I mean, I would want to know. I would notice things. I did notice that today, and I don't have anything at stake.
It's going to be Nick, and Brandon's going to be standing in the back of the room smoking a cigarette in the dark corner.
He's the Wizard of Oz. He's the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, he is, dude. I mean, we already see this. It's going to be Brandon.
He needs to not yell at players during. He needs to ratchet it down a notch. He needs to take it down from 11 to like a 4. You are only making Nick Sorensen look bad.
Well, one thing I will say is that if he's doing all of that during practice, and I'm going to be able to see it myself in a couple of days, but if he's doing all of that during practice, is one thing for certain is that he's got his fingerprints on the defense now. He obviously knows what he wants to be done. He's going to put his ethos into what he wants done. My thing is that Brandon Staley is a good defensive coordinator. That's one thing he does do well. The only problem is that he's a great defensive coordinator up until the fourth quarter, and then he turns into Kyle Shanahan. That's why they're like kindred spirits, bro.
He gave up a 27-point lead in the playoff game.
He is the defensive Kyle Shanahan. He is. They deserve.
And here's the thing. I think again, like that's why I would be uncomfortable. Here's my interpretation of what I saw today. Mm-hmm. Kyle thinks Brandon's really smart. Yeah. Kyle likes talking football with Brandon. I don't know that Kyle feels that way about Nick. Did Nick get he could have promoted Nick last year, but he was like, no, I'm going to bring in Steve Wilkes. And then he doubled back because the players like Nick Sorensen. But when it's time for Kyle to shoot the breeze for 8 minutes during a down period of practice, it's Brandon. And I think that speaks to where he stands in the hierarchy. He has Kyle's ear in a way that I'm not sure Nick does. We'll see.
Well, coaching is a very knuckle drag profession from a position of like, it's very like top down. You know who is who. There's no question about it. So, and they virtue signal towards it. And one of the things about practicing is that, you know, if you go back and you look at just how teams are built, you can obviously see that Brandon Staley, just look at it this way. Take the names off. Just call the facts. Let's just read the play sheet. All right. Nick Sorensen's jacket is a rookie defensive coordinator who's never been in position before, who's coaching one of the most talented defenses on his first job ever, and they're fresh out of a Super Bowl, and they're led by their defense. Yeah. While them getting rid of a seasoned defensive coordinator who he himself could not withstand the barrage of criticism coming from inside the locker room.
Also, the first choice was Bill Belichick. The greatest defensive coach ever. And the The first choice was Steve Spagnuolo, who just destroyed the head coach in the Super Bowl. Second choice, greatest defensive coach ever. And then somehow, some way, they Frankenstein this Nick Sorensen, Brandon Staley combination. It's like, okay, let's have Nick Sorensen's body, but Brandon Staley's head.
If I'm Nick Sorensen, I would have said that to Kyle and be like, so Belichick said no, and you asked me. Like, what? Dude, why don't you just shoot me in the head now? Like, bro, I'm being set up. Like, it's like, so Belichick said no. Cool. Who else said no? Just like, we went and saw, you know, some great coaches, some pretty good coaches. You know, they said no. Who else? We asked. Talk to Mike Vrabel. He said, Mike Vrabel. Whoa. Yeah. He said no.
Yeah. Okay. Spagnuolo wasn't really into it. And Spagnuolo,
what's his name?
Jeff Ulbrich. But Jeff Ulbrich really wasn't going for it.
And would you, how, forgive me, but why are you asking me for the
job? You're out of options and you're kind of afraid of the players revolting on the next coach like they did with the previous one? Oh.
You guys just fired Steve Wilks, right? So he got fired. She's like, yeah, but we're so right. Kyle even put out a press conference. He said, you're ready last year. She's like, really? He said that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. He said, you were ready last year. He's just like,
yeah. But there's a real opportunity for you to not get fired after the first year. It could happen.
Hey, bro, it's upward movement. And you're forgetting about your relationship with Nick Bosa. He really likes you. It's just like, all right,
dude. I heard he likes you.
It's kind of like, all right, bro, like, yeah, okay. So I own a MAGA hat. Whatever. Cool. But that doesn't mean that I'm a great defensive coordinator. So what are you going to? Are you going to at least put somebody in here? And it's just like, look, we got Brandon Staley here. He's going to look out for you, okay? You know, but for the time being, you just run everything and...
No, that's not what it is. It's Brandon Staley. Look, Brandon Staley's going to be the defensive coordinator. We don't want people to know because he's got kind of a bad reputation.
That's true.
So you are going to be the front man. And anytime Brandon makes a mistake and messes up, you're going to be the one who has to answer for it at the press conferences. But anytime something good happens internally, we're going to give Brandon the credit. How does that sound? Yeah.
Dude, it's a win-win. Trust me. Yeah. You're not going to see it now, but like, it's one of those like cry now, laugh later situations. You'll get it. All right. Yeah. Just do what I say. So one thing that you're going to have to understand is that all blame. Okay. Just, you know, and you've seen this with Steve before he got out of here, but all blame in terms of defense, especially when we lose games in crucial moments.
The Niners could lose 10-9. It's your fault for giving up 10.
It's got to be on you. All right. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to go with a couple of, you know, I should have known it was my fault. You know, I'm not necessarily prepared. You know, some of the guys are going to add a little bit of the commentary passive aggressively for effect. You may get a couple of comments from the third turnbuckle from Nick Bosa. The key is that you take this the Niner way. Okay? You take this the Niner way. 1, 2, 3, Kyle never gets hired. Kyle never gets fired on 3. 1, 2, 3, Kyle never gets fired. Let's go. Let's go.
And so what do you say? After a loss? It was my fault.
It was my fault.
This one was on me.
Even when we win, I want you coming in apologizing for the lead that we did not surmass.
And I want you to apologize to Brandon first.
Always to Brandon.
For not implementing his ideas well enough. Lobs All Day says, Trent guaranteed money is risky. Retires equals dead cap. Yeah, you don't want to redo his deal. And that's why it would have been really helpful if they had spent their first round picking an offensive tackle instead of a wide receiver. Because if Brandon holds out, it's like, oh, darn, all we have left is Debo and Kittle and Jennings and Juszczyk and McCaffrey. And damn, what are we going to do? We only have 4 great weapons now, or 5, but without Trent.
No, Trent, I mean, this was a shrewd move. I mean, you can't hate the player, hate the game. He stayed quiet. He laid in the weeds. He knew exactly where his leverage lied and exactly what point of the season to do it. Right before camp, I'm not coming in. You didn't draft anybody to replace me. And you're in another contract negotiation. And on top of it, you signed my running back. You got to pay me. He's going to get paid. It's not if, it's when. They got to pay.
Lobs all day. Says Brock's going to take $50 million. He's not greedy. I know him. Yeah, he's smart enough to take a little bit less and be celebrated. It's like, oh my God, he's so selfless. It's like, yeah, he only took $50 million. Like, what a. Yeah.
But he's smart enough to know that, though. You know what I mean? Smart enough to know that. I'm going to take my 50 and then I'll keep it perpetually off of me. I mean, what do you want from Brock? He's only making $49.999 million.
He's so selfless. Lobs all day. Says he's not greedy and understands that taking less now is a long-term investment in his career and future earnings.
Yeah. I think he gets that. It would be incredibly tone deaf for him to try to break the bank. And it would be a little bit disingenuous. It's like, dude, all of that talking you did about you're not the guy. You can't do this without your team. It's not me. I don't see it, Grant. I don't see him.
Can we talk about how, like, can we role play this? Because I just don't understand in the real world how this works. So the 49er, like, so let's say Tua gets the extension next year and the going rate is like 60, 65 million. Like that's the next high. Okay. Parag and the Niners come in and say, Brock, we freaking love you, man. Here's $65 million a year. And Brock's like, nah, that's way too much. It's way too much. We need, like, I'll take 50. Is that how that works? Like, no, that's not how that works, right? If the Niners offer 65, it's taking 65, right? We would agree on that?
Okay.
Right? Like, freaking duh. So the other thing is the Niners come in Prague is in like, hey, Brock, man, we love you, dude. And we know that, you know, Jared Goff's making 53 and all these people that you're better than are making more, but we're going to offer you 48. And it's for all these reasons. Brock's going to be like, I don't take that personally at all. I don't take that personally. I am 40. I'm not as good as Jared Goff. I'm not as good as Tua. I'll take 48 and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. You're so right about me, Parag. Thank you for helping me see myself in a more negative light. Like, is that realistic either?
But what you just did was basically say that both extremes are not realistic. Congratulations.
I went to UCLA. I'm smart, you know?
So what you just basically said is that both extremes are not realistic. I get
so
that.
So what's the realistic? So the Niners come in and offer, because I feel like what Parag does is he comes in with a low ball offer first off, and he tells you to your face why you're not as good as you think you are. I don't see Brock responding well to that, Brandon didn't.
Was that the conversation when Jimmy got paid? Was when Jimmy was made the most highest paid running quarterback in the league? Was that the conversation? No. As a matter of fact, they hopped on it because they understood the market and knew that the cap was going to grow and that this deal would fall favorably on them in the future.
True. He was a free agent, though. And there was all this, they could have franchise tagged him. Maybe they should have franchise tagged him, but he was a free agent. The Niners can play this game like, well, we got you for one more year and then we can franchise. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think they would do that to Brock. It would kind of fracture the locker room and the fan base. Brock got real gangsters. Like, Brock got real, like, riders who rock with him on that team. For real. I see Brock going in for, it's like you say 40. I love the way you're hilarious. It's like your two numbers are 68 and 65 million and 48 million. Like, you had to go.
There's
like,
no middle ground. There's absolutely zero middle ground. But why it's got to be one of the two.
Why can't 55 work? Or 52. Yeah.
I feel like it would work this year. They would work this year. That's what Goff signed for this year. But next year when the cap goes up, we'll figure out next year. Joseph Stockbridge says, I did find Shanahan's mustache or hair to be in shape. Took a page out of Sorensen's book. Leadership just might be whipping into shape because all that ain't whip appeal like Babyface.
I like your whip appeal. You remember Whip Appeal by Babyface? Yeah. You don't know Whip Appeal? Whip Appeal is such a goated movie.
Babyface is good.
He doesn't age. He's a vampire.
He is a vampire. JC says, how much did BS lose in SD70?
How much did BS
lose? Who's BS? What's SD? Is that San Diego? Right, so Y70?
Like, how much did...
I'm so confused.
All right, BS.
I thought he was talking about BA, but that's BS.
Lose in Super Bowl 70? but the D is nowhere near the B.
There hasn't been a Super Bowl 70. We're years away from that. JC, you're going to have to try again. I'm so sorry. Lobs all day. Tom Brady took less his whole career as the GOAT. Yeah, but Tom Brady was married to Giselle.
Stop with that. I'm tired of that. Look, also, I've got something to say about Tom Brady. Tom Brady, for all of those rings, he screwed the Players Association. If there was anybody who should have been standing 10 toes down for having all of those remarkable seasons and trying to push the league to pay players guaranteed money, it should have been Tom Brady. But Tom Brady was taking all of these team-friendly deals while he was getting loved by his teammates inside of the building and screwing all of the rest of the players across the league during his entire career with taking those team-friendly deals, almost to the fact of Kirk Cousins is the first guaranteed quarterback to get paid. The first quarterback to get paid guaranteed money. That's ridiculous.
Like that should have been Tom Brady's legacy, right?
Tom Brady. Yeah. That should have been Tom Brady.
So, Brock, if you take less money, we're coming for you. Can't do that to your fellow quarterbacks.
Make a move, Brock.
Because as we've seen, quarterbacks are Jerome Smith making nearly enough.
BS equals Brandon Staley and SDC equals San Diego. So how much did Brandon Staley lose by in San Diego?
Oh, in SD 70? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
60 something?
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, it's hard. You can't make that guy the defensive coordinator once that's on his resume. It's like, dude, you're going to have to be a fake defensive coordinator.
But this is why defensive coordinator. Grant. This is why this is beautiful. You can't make that guy the defensive coordinator, right? But you can't make the OC who blew a game, who blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl a head coach. They deserve each other.
Before we finish, I just want to get this for certain. We talk about Kyle and his blown leads in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's had two double-digit leads that he blew, but he also had a double-digit lead in the NFC Championship game against the Rams, and they blew that. They were up 17-7 when the fourth quarter started in the NFC Championship game against the Rams, and they got outscored 13-0 in the fourth quarter. So three times in the last five seasons, Kyle's had a double-digit lead in a Super Bowl or an NFC Championship game and lost. That's just incredible. Three times. I think if he does it one more, that's the record. So,
I mean, this season is going to be very interesting because it seems as though that with all of the money and the holdouts coming into this year, this may be the first time where we're going to actually get a chance to see them kind of like play without like the shtick, the we're brothers. Like, it's like, nah, go play, go win. Maybe this is what they need. Maybe this is what they need for it to all be on the table. It's like, dude, I'm getting paid because I don't believe we're going to win. Like, I want my money now. Yeah. We'll see, bro. Yeah. Brandon, hurry up and sign.
Hey, can we get Pat before we go? Like 2022, they went through four quarterbacks, a lot of injuries. 2020, Jimmy got hurt. 2018, Jimmy got hurt. 2024, every other year they have bad injury luck at quarterback. I don't want to put that in the universe. I'm just saying.
It's
cool. They got Josh Dobbs. It's cool, man. Just no problem.
We got Tanner Mordecai. Fuck Josh Dobbs.
Even year. Let's see what happens. Make sure you like and subscribe. We got 1,300 people watching. I don't know how many people have liked the show, but please like it before you go. Like this that show.
Awesome. You know what I'm saying? Look at us, man. Yeah. Look at us. Look at We're us, man.
Look at us. All right, man. I'm going to see you this weekend.
I'm touching down Saturday night, bro. It's going to be on.
That's right. We're hanging out Sunday night.
Hell yeah, we're going out to dinner, bro. It's going to be dope. It's going to be dope.
All right, everyone. Camp tomorrow, camp the day after. Stick around. I know there's no quarterback controversy this year, but in a way, it's more interesting. This is a critical time in 49ers history. Stay tuned.
We always got something. We'll do it live.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.